Amen. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and one and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, that's what we need. That's what we're looking for. That's what we've got to have. Hallelujah. Not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord. I pray, God, your spirit would fill this house tonight. I pray that you will let us be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be overflowing from us. Oh, God, let it be like a well of living water springing up within us. In Jesus' name, let your spirit do the work. Let your spirit move. Let your spirit open the door. Let your spirit work the miracle. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, is anybody thankful for the Spirit of the Lord? Is anybody thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost? Come on, I cannot make it without His Spirit, but I pray that He would move through us, that He would work through us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to preach to us tonight about the missing key. The missing key. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody, tell them the missing key. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. In these verses that we read tonight, we see Zechariah awakened out of sleep by an angel. That might be fun, you know. Wake up. And God gave him a vision of a golden candlestick. It was a lamp like the one that stood in the temple to give light unto the holy place. This part of the vision was something that Zechariah was familiar with. After all, the people were there in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And so it made sense that God was showing him something that would be inside the temple when it was finished. But more than the candlestick, Zechariah saw something that was never in the temple. There were two olive trees, one on the right side and one on the left. And reading on in the chapter, we understand a little more about what these two olive trees represented. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11 reads, Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? The lamp, the candlesticks, were supplied on the right and on the left by oil from two olive trees that was carried through golden pipes. There was a direct connection to the supply of oil. They were connected with what they needed to continue their purpose. The purpose of burning oil so that there would be light. They had a direct connection to a limitless supply. In studying the duties that were part of the regular serving in the temple, one important task that was constantly needed was to care for the lamps on the golden candlestick. They had to be continually refilled with oil. They had to be clean. Their wicks had to be maintained. It was not just any old oil, but it had to be specially prepared, pure oil from olive trees. And it was quite a task that took work every single day. But in this vision from the Lord, the prophet Zechariah, he sees a lampstand that is fed with golden oil that has come straight from the olive trees and is piped through golden pipes. Zechariah saw this vision, but he didn't really understand what it meant. The golden lampstand, of course, from the temple he's familiar with, but not this lamp being supplied with oil through these pipes from the two olive trees. And reading in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 5, "Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel was a descendant of King David. He was heir to the throne of Judah. And he would become an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Zerubbabel was probably the name given to him by the Babylonians who carried the Jews away captive after they destroyed the temple. But from the ruins of Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, along with the high priest Joshua, worked to rebuild the temple. And despite many delays, they were eventually successful. Zerubbabel's temple would have been the same temple that Jesus went to, although it had been restored and expanded over the years. But at this time, Zerubbabel had come up against strong opposition. Isn't it something how a work as amazing as the rebuilding of the temple of God, it faced opposition? And it wasn't even from the outsiders. It was from the Jerusalem community. First of all, they questioned, well, is Zerubbabel and is the high priest Joshua, are they really the ones that God has given the authority to do this work? And then the people complained that, well, they're not even going to be able to get this work done, and they just don't know what they're doing. They're not going to be able to complete it. Even the prophet Zechariah came under fire for supporting Zerubbabel and Joshua. The people said that Zechariah hadn't been sent by God either, that he wasn't a true prophet. And you see, it was just the work of the enemy. And those who were not spiritual allowed the enemy to use them to cause confusion and sow discord. Because ultimately, the enemy wanted to stop the work of God. Boy, that sounds familiar. Thousands of years later, the enemy's up to the same old tricks. And those who are not spiritual will justify their murmuring and complaining and sowing discord and division when it's just blatant rebellion against God's authority. The work had stalled, and Zerubbabel needed some encouragement. Have you ever been there? Come on, somebody. The work has been done, but it's not completed yet. And for whatever reason, the work is stalled and things are not coming together and momentum has disappeared and the project isn't completed, but everybody's wore out and tired out and burned out. Have you ever been there? Oh, that's where Zerubbabel was, in the face of opposition and enduring attack after attack with more work to do, but momentum seemingly gone. Zerubbabel needed some encouragement. And so God speaks to the prophet Zechariah, and he says, go tell Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. God sent a messenger to the servant of the Lord. Zerubbabel, I want to tell you, I want you to know, you and Yeshua are in the right place at the right time. You're doing the work that I've called you to do. God was saying, I'm the one that gives you authority. You're going to be successful. Keep working. Keep pressing on. Oh, but Zerubbabel, you got to remember something. This is not going to happen because of how clever you are. It won't be your ability that gets the work done. Your physical strength is not the key. That's not how the temple's going to be rebuilt. Oh, it's not by might. It's nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, I just feel like God wants to speak to somebody here tonight. He just wants to remind somebody he's still in control. He still has all power. He is still able. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as the pastor of this church, shepherd, called by God to lead his sheep, I've come, I believe, tonight to give you a word from the Lord. It is not by might, nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. We've been looking for the key. What's the key for revival? How can we have a breakthrough? And how can we reach our city? And how can we be everything that God wants us to be? What's the key? What's the secret? The answer is not in another certain program. The secret is not that one certain evangelist is going to come and bring revival. The key is not in our organization and administrative efforts. Those things are all great, but the key, it must be by the Spirit of Almighty God. What's the missing key? What's the missing ingredient? It's when we try to do it with our might. We try to make it with our own power. But God's telling us here tonight, no, it's by my Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God sent them both a warning and a word of encouragement. The warning was this: don't you get to thinking that this work is a product of your own effort. This is not something you're going to get done with human ingenuity. The moment we start thinking this, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. This is not my church. This is not your church. It's God's church. And he's going to have revival his way. He's going to do it his way. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 127 and 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The Lord is the one who builds it. The Lord is the one that builds this church. The Lord is the one that brings the revival. The Lord is one that accomplishes the work. We just got to get with the program and see it happen. Come on. It's God's house. It's God's church. And it's got to be built his way. It was a word of warning, but it was also a word of encouragement. Hey, Zerubbabel, you're going to be able to complete the work that I've called you to do, and it's a work that you don't have the resources to get done. Now, God wasn't telling Zerubbabel to just sit back and wait for God to do everything. You know, God just build it by a miracle, and I'm just going to sit here and watch and drink lemonade. No, God was not trying to discourage human effort, but he was encouraging him that the greatest work that can be done is when God takes everything that we humanly do, and then he takes us beyond the limits of our own resources into a supernatural dimension. I tell you, I believe it would blow our minds if we knew everything that God was going to do. I don't think we'd even believe it. I don't think our faith is strong enough yet to receive it. But God's trying to elevate us. He's trying to lift our faith. He's trying to build our faith. Come on, he's trying to take us beyond our own ability, beyond our own limits. He's trying to get us into the supernatural, to where he has an unlimited supply. Oh, come on. Can I preach to some people here tonight? You know the call of God is upon your life. You know that God has a work for you to do. You know that the anointing of God rests upon you. But you look at the mountain before you. You look at the task before you and think, I could never do it. I don't have what it takes. My resources are limited. I don't have the ability. I don't have the talent. But somebody's got to realize there's an unlimited supply. There's a pipe that's connected to an olive tree, and that olive tree is producing olive oil that's flowing. It's an unlimited supply. Hallelujah. God's trying to, he's trying to elevate us. He's trying to build our faith. He's trying to get us into that supernatural realm, to where we can take hold of everything he's got for us. Oil is a representation of the Spirit. We need fresh oil to do the work. Think about all the work that oil does. Oil lubricates. There's not a lot of friction among those who are lubricated by the Spirit of God. Oil heals. It was used in medical treatments in Bible days, and even today, the Spirit of God brings healing and restoration. Oil gives light. When it's burned in a lamp, it brings light to a room. Where the Spirit of God is, there is light. Oil warms when it's used for fuel, and there's warmth and comfort from the Spirit of God. Oil can be a perfume, and when we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, it makes us a whole lot more pleasant to be around. Oil polishes. It can be used to shine metal. And somehow the Spirit of God has the ability to move and to wipe away the dirt and the grime of life, and it smooths out our rough edges. The Holy Ghost polishes us. Hallelujah. Oh, there's an unlimited supply of oil from the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we seldom operate to our full potential. How long has it been since we were full of the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since we walked in the Spirit? How long has it been since we were full of the Spirit of God doing what he wanted to do through us? Amen. I want to tell you, when we're working and serving and ministering, we've got to get the oil. We've got to have the anointing of God. We've got to have the blessings of the Lord upon us. Because if we're living in the flesh, if we're serving in the flesh, if we're ministering in the flesh, we're missing the oil. I want to tell you, it's miserable being like that. It wears us out. We get burned out. How do we get full of oil? We've got to get in the Spirit. We've got to get in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. Oh, they're just being carnal. Yeah, that's what it is. And it's an enemy of God. We should not be carnal. There should be an elevated sense of purpose that, hey, I'm not just any old person, but I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so I don't talk the way the carnal world talks. And I don't do the things the carnal world does. And I don't even think like that. And you know what? When I'm around carnal people, it just makes me uncomfortable. And I've got to separate myself from that, because that is not who I am. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Are we pleasing to God? Are we in the flesh? Or are we in the Spirit? Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We need the oil. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's why you can say old things are passed away, but all things have become new. I'm thankful I'm not who I used to be. I'm thankful that that man has died, and every once in a while he tries to come to life again, and I have to go back to an altar, and I have to go back to repentance, because I got to keep that old man in the grave. Amen. I'm not going back to my carnal ways, but I've got to be in the Spirit. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. You've got to learn to get in the Spirit, and you've got to learn to keep this flesh under subjection. You've got to learn that I'm not going to do everything my flesh wants to do. I'm not going to give my flesh everything that it wants, but I'm going to let the Spirit be in control. Come on, that's what's wrong with people in the world today. They just give their flesh whatever it wants. Their flesh wants this, they go after it. The flesh wants to do that, they go do it. The flesh wants to taste that and partake of that, and they just do whatever the flesh wants to do. Their flesh is raging out of control. But when we get born again, when God gives us a new way of living, that flesh has to die. That fleshly desire has to be crucified. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we want to be the Son of God, if we want to be God's children, we've got to be led by His Spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. If you've not been full of the Holy Ghost, if it's been a long time since you were full of fresh oil, it's time to get back into the Spirit. It's time to be led by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's time to crucify the flesh and say, I've got to get in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. If we're not in the Spirit, we're in the flesh. Why are there church problems? Flesh. Why do brothers and sisters not get along? Flesh. Why do people gossip and sow discord among the brethren? Flesh. Now I'm going to say this one too. Why do people get burned out and stop serving in ministry? Flesh. Because we're serving in our flesh. And we're not tapped in to that unlimited supply. If we're not in the Spirit, if we're not walking in the Holy Ghost, if we're not ministering in the Spirit, if we're not living for God by the Holy Ghost, we are doing it by our flesh. One of the foundational principles of this church is that we are here for others. Others. Why do we do everything we do? It's about souls. It's for others. It's to reach those that are lost. Whenever there's a saint of God that does not care about others, what are they? They're in the flesh. They're selfish, is what it is. They don't want to serve others. They don't want to reach others. They don't want to help. They don't want to expend any effort if it doesn't help me, myself, and I. That's selfishness. It's flesh. And if they'll get to looking at themselves in the mirror, if they'll truly be honest about things, they're not praying like they should be. They're not fasting one day every week. Probably not fasting at all. They're not led by the Spirit of God. They're led by flesh. They're missing the key, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And along with that word from God, Zechariah was given this vision of the lamp that's fed through the golden pipes with pure oil from two olive trees. There's an unlimited supply. But we have to be plugged in to the source. Hallelujah. How do we do that? How do we get into the Spirit? Through prayer and fasting. Through putting our flesh on the altar and saying, this flesh has to die. And I got to get into the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no other way to do it. I can't give you a magic pill and say, here, just take this, you'll be good. No. I can't say, okay, repeat after me and give you five sentences and then all of a sudden you're full of the Spirit. No. The only way to do it is through prayer and fasting and putting our flesh on the altar and saying, I've got to get full of the Holy Ghost. This month we're going to be doing some spiritual emphasis things, and so I want to ask our church, I want to challenge us, spend time in prayer and fasting. And we're starting off the year. I want to challenge all of us to read through the Bible together. If you've not picked up one of these Bible reading plans, we have some at the Welcome Center there in the foyer, or you can use a Bible app on your phone or whatever. But you need to start today. Go ahead and start. And we're going to read the Bible through together in 1 year. Okay, when you spread it out like that, it's really not hard to do. You just a few chapters each day. And so start tonight if you've not already started. But we're going to read through the Bible. And in 1 year, I believe God's going to help us grow together. Beyond that, I want to challenge you to pray every single day. Consistency is where it's at. You know, sometimes we wait until there's a problem and there's a situation. All of a sudden, then we're praying for hours and trying to get the Lord to hear us. And the Lord does answer. Sometimes He has mercy on us. But when you're consistent, it's developing that relationship every single day with the Lord. Try to find the same time of day if you can and spend that time every single day with the Lord. And it may start out small, but let it grow. As that relationship grows, your prayer time will just go by so quickly. But I'm challenging this church. We need to be praying every single day. And then I'm calling us to fast. Do I love fasting? No. Do I try to look for excuses to get out of fasting? Yes. Flesh. It's flesh. but the flesh has to die. And so 1 week from Monday, it'll be the 13th of January, we're going to start a week of fasting. And so we're challenging everyone to do a three-day food fast. A three-day food fast. Now, it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or if you need to do something different, you could do Monday, Wednesday, Friday and break it up. You know, be wise about your health, but most of us can fast, okay? And we're going to fast food. Well, I just want to fast, you know, I want to fast M&Ms. Okay, all right, but that, you know, you'll go out and you'll eat Snickers. So, you know, but we're going to do a three-day food fast together, okay? So 1 week from Monday on January 13th, if you want to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, if you can do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's do that. But we're going to do a three-day food fast. And then also, I want to challenge you to do a media fast this month. Okay? You figure out what it needs to be. You really know. You know where you're getting too much media and what you're watching and consuming too much of. And so maybe you just say, you know, no social media and no news and no entertainment or whatever it is, and I want to challenge you to do that. Some of us are so addicted to media. I'm saying some of us are so addicted to media that literally you're going to have withdrawals. You'll be like, oh, where's my iPad? I got to get on Facebook, and that's not good, you know. So, 3 day food fast, social media fast. And you make it what it needs to be, you know. If you're going to say 1 week, or if you're going to say 30 days, or, you know, whatever you feel like it needs to be. Pray every single day, and we're going to read through the Bible together. Now, there are some churches that some that we're connected with that are doing a 52-day fast. And this is really, it comes from in Nehemiah. The wall was built in 52 days. And so there's people that are believing God for something specific. And so they find something that, you know, is of value and important to them, and they say, for 52 days, I'm going to fast that. Coffee or chocolate or, you know, whatever it might be, something specific. And they say, Lord, I'm believing you for something specific. And so I'm going to fast this thing that's important to me for 52 days, and I'm believing that my lost children are going to be saved, or I'm believing that my lost spouse is going to come back to church, or whatever it is. It's something specific. I've even heard of people fasting their bed for 52 days. I got on the floor this morning and laid there and figured out, okay, can I do this? I don't know if I can do that one. So anyway, you let the Lord lead you. You know, if you feel like that's something that you're believing God for something supernatural and you want to take a 52-day fast of whatever it might be, obviously, you know, unless you are really in the spirit, you don't want to fast 52 days food. I don't think that would be wise. But, you know, 52 days of coffee or 52 days of sugar, you know, whatever. It could be something like that. And then I want to hear a good report of what God does. Would you stand with me in closing together? The work of rebuilding the temple had stalled. Zerubbabel had come up against strong opposition. The enemy was not happy with the work that had been done. And that's where we are today. Work has been done. Progress has been made. But things are not completed. There's more to do. But momentum is not like it needs to be. And people are wore out. And if we don't get the missing key in our life, hear me tonight. If we don't get the missing key in our life, we'll wear out, we'll burn out, and then we'll flame out. If we don't get back in the spirit, we will wear out and burn out and then flame out. But in the face of opposition, come on, some of you have been facing some pretty intense opposition. and it seems like it's worse than it's ever been before. That's why, come on, somebody, you've been going through stuff that you've never gone through before. It's because you're closer to victory than you've ever been before. That's why there's been attack after attack. Did you really think that this was going to be easy? Did you really think the enemy was just going to surrender and give up the fight for something so important? But in the face of opposition, God has sent a word of warning and a word of encouragement today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I believe God wants us to know we're in the right place at the right time. We're doing what He's called us to do. He's the one that gives us the authority. We're going to be successful. We just got to keep on working. We got to keep on pressing on. But we've got to remember today, it's not because of how clever we are. It's not because of how talented we are. Our physical strength isn't the key. That's not how this church is going to be built. That's not how this revival is going to happen. That's not how we're going to reach our world. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And then one more thing. Reading through this, there was something that it just stood out to me so strongly. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And notice the first part of verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? Probably every one of us could answer, yes, I've despised the day of small things. It had been a long day of small things for Zerubbabel. That work of the temple, it had been in ruins for almost 20 years. He could have said to God, what do you mean the day of small things? It's been 20 years of small things. Even so, God told him not to despise the time of small things. The season of small things is a powerful tool in the hand of God. It's the season of small things where He shapes us, He prepares us, and He tests us, and He teaches us. It's the season of small things. It's not something to despise when it's in the plan of God. And so Satan, he tempts us because he wants us to despise the season of small things. But I tell you, Satan is a liar. Satan wants us to despise that season of small things because he fears the day of small things in our life, because he knows what great things God can do and bring out of a season of small things. This past Sunday in our worship service, I felt that God gave me a word of prophecy for this church. It was this: the best kept secret of the city of Springfield, this church, is about to not be a secret anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's about to be some doors that open. There's about to be a revival that takes place. It may start in a neighborhood. It may start in a Bible study somewhere. It may start on a street corner. It may start in an office building. I don't know. It might happen in a school. But the best kept secret of what God's been doing, the day of small things, all of a sudden God's going to say, you know what? It's been not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I'm going to do what I want to do in the time that I've called. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish you'd hear the call of God tonight. God is calling us to get in the Spirit. God is calling us to plug in to an unlimited supply of the power and the anointing of God. The oil, there's an unlimited supply, but we've got to get our flesh on the altar. We've got to get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I wonder if you would join me in this altar right now and say, Lord, I've got to get back to a place of prayer. I've got to get back to a place of fasting. I've got to get back to a place of commitment, Lord. Lord, I'm not in the Spirit like I need to be. But Lord, I feel the call. I feel the tug on my heart right now. And I'm going to respond, Lord. I'm going to respond in the name of Jesus. I've got to have the Spirit. I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've got to crucify this flesh. I've got to be what God's called me to be. Come on, somebody, hear the call of God. God has great things He's wanting to do, but it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You've got to get in the Holy Ghost. You've got to move away from the natural and get into the spiritual. Come on, God's got it. You've got to get in the Holy Ghost.